gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
the final reading of our scripture. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not have a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks. Sometimes it's hard to say thanks be to God when we read a passage like that, that has power, that is like looking into a mirror. I don't know about you, but the first time I read that, like it was like a sucker punch. If we can't love our brothers and sisters who we can see, how can we claim to love a God that we can't see? To me, that's powerful. And when we read truth like that, the Holy Spirit seems to kick into high gear and force upon us that thing called conviction. Now, I'll preface this message with this. At the time that this happened, I didn't know the Bible like I do now, and I'll come back to that. So, in experiencing the love of God, I also experienced a call from God. And that calling was to pastoral ministry, which meant I had to go to seminary. Yet, before I could go to seminary, I had to go back to undergrad and finish my bachelor's degree. And so I had dropped out of Ohio State, senior status, ran out of cash to pay tuition, didn't realize that you could take out a loan. I'm kind of glad that I didn't know you could do that. But I didn't need a certificate on the wall because I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to start a business, and so I wrote a business plan and took it to several banks and was actually approved by National City. They gave me $40,000. Who does that? National City. So anyway, they took a chance on me. And as the years went on, 17 to be exact, I would experience this call to ministry, which meant I would have to go back to finish my bachelor's degree before I went on to seminary. And first place I called was Ohio State, but they wouldn't even return my phone calls because I was a non-traditional student. I was old, and I was working, right? I had a business to run. I couldn't attend like regular students. And so a friend of mine from church came up to me one Sunday and he said, "I hear you have to go back to school." I said, "Yeah, I can't finish at Ohio State for some reason. It'll take too long." And he says, "Well, you know, I'm a professor at Mount Vernon Nazarene University and they have a cohort program. And in 18 months, you can be done." And I said, 18 months? No, I got this call to ministry now. I can't take 18 months to do this. I need to do it now. He kind of laughed and he said, "Trust me, it's a good program and it will prepare you for seminary." I'm like, okay. I don't know if he ever found out how true that statement would become. So the first night of class, I get there, and it was a bunch of students just like me, old, and trying to finish a degree after being a working professional, holding down a full-time job during the day, studying, having family, like everybody in the room got it. And as I looked around, I looked to my right and I saw these like, "Ah." And I looked to my left and I went, "Ah," because I saw somebody I thought I recognized. And I was like, "No way, can't be," right? So we left, we had the pep rally and we picked up our books and we left and we didn't get a chance to mingle. And so the whole week went by and I was thinking, "Oh my goodness, I wonder if that is Craig." You see, Craig was my high school enemy. We were such mortal enemies that one night we were finally going to have it out. He left a party and I chased after him. And we're going north on 511, which is over by Oberlin. And I bet you we're doing 80 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, he gets to Route 20 and he slows down to about 50 miles an hour and turns heading west on Route 20. And I can tell you this, he lost me. But he also almost lost his life that night. Because you see, he pulled out right in front of a semi. And the semi had to slam on its brakes. I don't know to this day how he missed hitting Craig. And in that moment, that was the last time we ever had a confrontation. We wouldn't speak or look at each other because we knew what the potential was for that evening. And so 20 years would go by. We would graduate high school. I would go into the Army and go down to Texas. He would join the Air Force and go all the way out to California. But God's got a sense of humor, right? God's got a sense of humor. 20 years later, God puts both of us in the exact same cohort, in the same class, on the same night. And God had been working on me that night, that week. And so this school, they opened up each class with a devotion and a prayer request. And so this was really our first official night of class, and the professor does the devotion, and he says, "We're going to pray now. Does anybody have any prayer requests?" I was the only one that raised my hand. He says, "Yeah, Christopher, what do you got?" I said, "I would just like forgiveness of immature acts of 20 years ago." And he prayed. And we went through the class, and then halfway through the class, we had a dinner break. And at the dinner break, I went up to Craig, and we started chatting, and like, you know, all the normal stuff. What are you doing now? How big's your family? So on and so forth. And as he's going on and we're going on, I finally stopped him, and I said, "You know that prayer request? That was asking forgiveness from you." And he acknowledged it. He says, "Yeah, we were pretty crazy and dumb back then." He says, "I forgive you. Can you forgive me?" And I says, "Yeah." And over the next 6 months, we actually built a friendship. God has got a sense of humor, I'm telling you. And so 6 months into the program, I'm at a friend's house laying a tile floor. I'm in the middle of, on my hands and knees, and my phone rings. And it's Craig's wife. Craig had suffered a stroke, a major stroke. And he was at the OSU hospital. And I says, "I'll get there as soon as I can." So I told the homeowner, I cleaned up, I says, "Look, I gotta go. I got this friend from high school who just had a stroke." And this friend I was working for was a Christian, and he was much older than me. He was one of my mentors. And he says, "Go, you've got a mission to do." And so I went down there, and I walked into the room, and Craig's semi-conscious in bed. And I look at him, and like the only thing I can think to do was to hold his hand and to pray for him. I prayed for him, and I prayed for his wife, and told him I'd come back the next day. He kind of nodded. And so the next day I got up and I started to head down there, and on the way down there I was listening to a devotion on the radio, and this story about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And the teachable moment that Jesus was having with the disciples, that we have to humble ourselves and serve one another, right? And so I walk into the room, and before I could even walk into the room, his wife pulls me out of the room into the hallway, and she goes, "I just can't tell you how much your visit means to Craig." She goes, "Like, he's really motivated. He's actually turning a corner. Even the doctor was amazed at his progress." And I said, "Praise be to God." So I went in, and we began to visit, and he was sitting upright, and he was hopeful and hope-filled. And after about 20 minutes of visiting, he got a little embarrassed. And I said, "Well, what's the matter, Craig?" He says, "Well, I have to go to the restroom." And he was in a private room, and I says, "Well, do you think if I help you, we can walk you across the room and like, I was thinking, you know, maybe this would be therapeutic for him. And he says, "Yeah, I think I can do this." And so his wife helped, and we sat him on the edge of the bed. And even though he was a fall risk, the nurse gave us permission to attempt this. And he stood up, and he bear hugged me. And I hugged him. I want you to imagine 2 6-foot-1 guys, one weighing 220 and the other weighing just a little bit more. I was a little thinner then. Walking across the room, I call it the two-stroke tango, because quite frankly, he had no control over his left side, so I was really supporting my weight and his at the same time. And we get to the bathroom, and we hover over the commode, and his wife pulls down his shorts, and I set him on the commode, And I got to admit, I'll be honest, I was leaning against the wall trying to catch my breath. I was winded, to say the least. And I looked down, and these crocodile tears are streaming down Craig's face. And I immediately thought, oh no, we didn't make it. We didn't make it. And I asked Craig, are you okay? What's wrong? And he looked up and he's crying and sobbing. And he says, I just can't believe you're here helping me through this. And I shared with Craig the story I heard on the radio about Jesus humbling himself and washing the disciples' feet. And I says, if I can't serve you here now, then I've failed to learn what Jesus was trying to teach us. And if I had that moment to do all over again, I would add the words we read tonight. Craig, if I can't love you, my brother who sits right here in front of me and that I can physically touch, how can I claim to love a God that I can't see? Right? There's conviction in that passage that we have to love one another. We can claim to love God on all we want, but unless we love even our enemies as our friends, our claim means nothing. And so Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he said, I am God incarnate, God in flesh, just so that you could see the claim in flesh that you make, that you love God. By breaking the bread and sharing it, you can proclaim that. For this is my body broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and blessed it and gave thanks. And he said, this is my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins, for the forgiveness, for that ability to ask Craig to forgive me, just like I was able to forgive him. That's what Jesus is offering to us through the cup. To be forgiven and the resource to forgive. And so we pray that God would pour out his Holy Spirit upon us and these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine, that they would be for us the body and blood of Christ, that as we partake it, we would become one with Christ and one with the world to be able to share his love, to offer his forgiveness, to offer our forgiveness to a world that desperately needs it, to a world that's trying to heal from the paralyzing diseases of this world, hate, hunger, stress, despise, rejection, loneliness. You get the picture. He did this for us. Amen. In the beauty of the United Methodist Church, you don't have to be a member here or anywhere to come and receive this gift. Just come with hunger in your heart, with forgiveness ready to be received and then offered in turn. You simply extend your hands and receive the gift of grace broken off and hear the words, the body of Christ broken for you. And then as you've received that, dip it in the cup and hear the words, the blood of Christ shed for you. And respond however you want. Thanks be to God, amen. I love you, Lord. I promise to love my neighbor or brother or sister. However you want to respond. The table's been set. The invitation is extended. All are welcome. Tammy, would you serve with me tonight? Come when you're ready. Come as you are.
He's my Savior, 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 He's my Savior. I will praise Him, 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 I will praise Him.
May you go from this place with a renewed hope and love for your brothers and sisters who you can see, so that you can proclaim with truth and power that you love God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.